This is your Concordia, Nebraska All Sports Leader, Koubsky, brought to you by The Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Koubsky, alongside my partners, Eric Cumley. And we've got another great weekend of sports to cover for you. Six total sports that were played. We're going to start off with volleyball. They played the first round of the GPAC tournament on April 3rd against Dakota Wesleyan. They won that 3-0. They dominated. You know, Dakota Wesleyan didn't really have an answer.
And our girls did very well. Cameron Offner led the way with 14 kills, and Kaylee Wiltfong had 8, which was the second leading person with kills, I guess. So overall, our girls just did very well, and, you know, they kind of got back in the swing. They never really got out of the swing of things, I guess. They've kind of dominated this whole spring season run.
Yeah, it's almost like they said, we're not going to fall apart because we had a small break. Yeah. We're just going to continue to grind and make sure we're on top of our game, and that's exactly what they did. And now they're up against Northwestern College on April 7th for the semifinal matchup. That'll be at Orange City, Iowa. This is going to be a great matchup. Earlier in the season, we lost to them 3-1 on October 10th. It started off 1-1, and then Northwestern won the last two. Kind of unfortunate, but yeah, this will be a great matchup here.
This most definitely should be. I mean, I remember that matchup when we were going into it. We were on a pretty good win streak, and that loss kind of hurt us a little bit, so it should be a good battle between two GPAC teams. But that Dakota Wesleyan game, just going back to it, I guess Marissa Horman led the way with 22 digs, and then Aaron Johnson and Tristan Mason both had 13 digs as well.
They played a heck of a game and still showing dominance in their field. And we're going to jump to the Northwestern matchup. We are ranked 10th in the nation. Northwestern's ranked 7th in the nation. Currently, we sit 3rd in GPAC. They are 2nd in GPAC. So this is going to be real close. It's top 10 matchup. It's a top 3 matchup in GPAC. This is going to be, I think it's going to go down into five matches or 5 games.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so, too. It should be, like we just keep saying, it should be a very good game. And after that game, if they win that game, they will play April 10th, which is just 3 days later. Just letting you guys know, we won't know who they play. Because
we won't. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be Jamestown.
Yeah, most
likely. They're the number one team in the nation. They're number one in GPAC. They're on fire. So my prediction is Jamestown and Concordia in the GPAC championship. That's where I stand. I think Concordia can take it all.
That'll be a good GPAC championship game if we can make it there. Hopefully we can. I think we can.
I think we can. I think we have a shot. But this is going to be one great matchup. If you can make it down to Orange City, Iowa, please do and support our Bulldogs. If not, go to Northwestern's website to watch the game and still support our women as they compete for a spot to stay alive in the GPAC tournament. Still on the same topic of GPAC tournament, the men's soccer team will start their GPAC tournament here in a few days. But first, they played a game on April 2nd against Midland University. That was a home game at Bulldog Stadium. They won that game 4-2 in an impressive win for the Bulldogs after two back-to-back losses.
When they lost to Missouri Valley College, when they only had 4 total shots, they really picked up the slack on shots and just getting their offense together this game.
And their defense was outstanding. They only allowed 5 total shots, 3 of them on goal, and obviously those 2 goals that snuck in. But Midland actually changed goalies at halftime. I don't know if that was on purpose or if the goalie was not doing so good. But we only had 1 goal recorded in the first period by Concordia to take it at halftime, 1-0. And I guess the Midland coach said, that's enough. I'm going to send in my other guy. 3 more goals.
Yeah, he didn't do much better for them, but our goals were scored by Yesen Besai. He had 2 goals. Isaiah Shattuck and Victor Menses.
Each had 1, by the way. 1 goal apiece. Federico Andrea Simonetti, who was a starting goalkeeper, had 1 great save and allowed 2 goals, but played the entire game until about 12 minutes left to go.
Then Callum Goldsmith came in.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And just kind of gave him a little break. He did not have a save, but he also didn't allow a goal. Our defense did very well. Midland only had 5 shots and 3 on goal. So we kind of dominated the shot count there.
We definitely did. We kind of picked it up more so in the second half. Yes, we came in to halftime with a 1-0 lead, but we only had 4 shots in the first period. Second period, we had 9 shots for our total of 13. So we really kicked it into high gear after halftime to really seal the deal and make sure that we come out with that win.
Those last 3 goals, all of them were right next to each other. One was scored in the 66th minute, then I believe the 67th or 68th, and then the 69th. They were all back-to-back, so that was real good for them. And as we said earlier, they're starting their GPAC tournament. They will play Northwestern College at Orange City, Iowa on April 10th at 7 p.m. So good luck to them. That's an away game.
Yeah, that is. And hopefully, if you can make it to the game, please do and support our Bulldogs. If not, go to Northwestern's page, like we said before, and you'll find it there. Moving on to the women's side of soccer, they actually started their GPAC tournament on April 3rd by playing Dakota Wesleyan at home, and they beat Dakota Wesleyan 2-1 to advance to the second round of the playoffs, which would be the semifinals for GPAC tournament. That was a very tight game all the way. We had the lead at halftime 1-0, and then Dakota Wesleyan tied it up in the second, and we were able to sneak in a goal.
Right after it, basically.
Yeah, right after, about 2 minutes after. So that was huge for us to seal the deal, and our defense came up strong once again, only allowing Dakota Wesleyan 5 shots and 2 of them on goal. Obviously, one went in.
Our offense did very well, too. We had 13 total shots with 7 on goal. So just like the men's,
it's almost identical.
Their offensive rhythm.
Yes, they did.
They did very well with that. And, you know, we got some revenge from Dakota Wesleyan because we lost to them 1-0 earlier in the year. So that's nice to beat them when it mattered in the GPAC tournament.
Exactly, where it matters most. And they're going to hopefully ride that momentum onto Midland. That is another home game on April 6th. Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. That'll be in the Bulldog Stadium. So please show up and show out and support our Bulldogs. Moving on to track and field, we had 15 total events, one in the last meet at the Bronco Invite at Hastings, Nebraska. So that's huge right there.
Yeah, great job to everyone. I mean, we'll go down the list, but congrats to everyone.
Yeah. Jackson Armitage won the men's javelin. Rachel Battershell won the women's 400-meter dash. Jacob Cornelio took first place in the hammer throw on the men's side. Sarah Lewis won the women's 400-meter hurdles. Colton Meyer won the men's 400 meters. Taylor Mose won the women's triple jump. Aaron Painter won the women's discus. Josie Pels won the women's pole vault, and she also broke a record that we'll get to in just a minute. Grace Raymond won the women's 5,000-meter run. Camden Cessna won the men's 800-meter run. Addie Shaw won both women's shot put and hammer throw. Liz Stoudemire won the women's javelin. Cody Williams won the men's long jump. Zach Zoner won the men's pole vault.
So
congratulations to all 15.
Congrats to all of them, but especially Josie Pels, who broke another school record for outdoor pole vault, clearing 12 feet, 11 and a half inches.
She is now the record holder for both indoor and outdoor pole vault. What a performance.
She beat the old record by 2 inches, so she wasn't even, she was way past it.
Inches is a lot when it comes to pole vault. It may seem little, like 2 inches, oh, that's barely beating it. In pole vault,
2 inches is a lot.
Yeah, 2 inches makes a huge difference. We also had some athletes qualify for nationals. Jacob Cornelio qualified in the men's hammer throw with a throw of 62.04 meters. That in feet is 203 feet and 6 inches.
He's leading the NAIA by nearly 10 feet. He's number one by nearly 10 feet. That's far.
He won the meet by almost 10 feet. Like, that's insane. Congratulations to him. That's huge.
Morgan DeJong also qualified automatic bid, I guess, for the national tournament. Throwing 44.32 meters, and in feet, that is 145.5 feet.
We're just going to let you all know, in the women's discus throw, the top four placers were all Concordia women. Fourth place being Morgan DeJean, third place being Sarah Hughes, second place being Andrea Shaw, and first place, Aaron Painter. That's insane.
Yeah, and Sarah Hughes also qualified for the national tournament with a throw of 44.75 meters.
Which in feet is 146 feet and 10 inches.
There's just a bunch of discus throwers that have qualified for the national tournament.
Allie Owings took fifth place, so actually we had five Bulldogs in the top five. That's very impressive. She qualified for nationals by throwing a 44.28 meter discus in feet, that is, so 145 feet and 3 inches.
Yeah, and then lastly, the winner of it, Aaron Painter, qualified as well for the national tournament, throwing 48.75 meters, and in feet, that's 159 feet and 11 inches.
Congratulations to all those women automatically qualifying. That's a huge accomplishment to have four girls automatically qualify, and the fifth girl who placed already qualified last meet. So five girls already in discus. That's incredible. Moving on, we have Cade Kleckner in the 200 meter dash on the men's side. He finished with the time of 21.35 seconds. He also finished in second place in the meet. So we told you his time, right? 21.35 seconds. The person who got first took first with a time of 21.34 seconds.
Wow.
He barely lost. That had to be so close.
That's a photo finish right there.
Oh my goodness. That's incredible. A huge effort for him, but he automatically qualifies, so congratulations to him.
Ellie Lur also qualified for the national tournament in women's shot put, throwing 13.55 meters, and in feet, that's 44 feet and 5 inches and a half.
Aaron Mapson for women's pole vault qualified for nationals by clearing 3.85 meters, which is 12 feet and 7.5 inches. So congratulations to her. Josie Pels also qualified for nationals by clearing, as we said, the new record at 3.95 meters, which is 12 and 11 and a half inches. So congratulations to both those girls. Huge accomplishment right there.
Sarah Ragland also qualified for the national tournament in women's hammer throw, throwing 53.11 meters. And in feet, that's 174 feet and 3 inches.
Addie Shaw qualified in discus, shot put, and hammer throw for nationals. That is a huge accomplishment. Congratulations to her. Liz Stoudemire qualified for nationals in javelin, and Chris Wren qualified for nationals in hammer throw. Congratulations to all those athletes, and good luck on the season.
Yeah, and next up for the track and field team, they will be home on April 9th and April 10th. The Concordia University invite on April 9th, it'll start at 1:30 p.m. and April 10th, it'll start at 10 a.m. That will be in Bulldog Stadium.
We're going to jump to baseball as they played two doubleheaders while we were away. Their first doubleheader was against Doane University at Crete, Nebraska. They won the first game 9-8 and unfortunately lost the second game 14-8. Then they went up to South Dakota to face Mount Marty University on April 3rd, the very next day, and beat Mount Marty 10-3 in the first game, and then beat them again 10-9. So the second game was a lot closer than they thought, but still, to be able to lose and then bounce it back with two wins right off the bat is a huge testimony to this team.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about it before. They just keep bouncing back after a loss. They don't usually lose two in a row or just lose again after one loss. They bounce back and they make a statement winning 10-3 against Mount Marty. And then they were able to hold off for the 10-9 win in the second game.
They definitely did. For our Bulldogs, we had seven different players who pulled in runs, and two of them actually had two runs. Right fielder Keaton Kandor had two runs, and shortstop Jose Cevedos also had two runs. it wasn't like a one-man show. It was really a whole team coming together to really get this pivotal 9-8 win.
Yeah, and even with pitching, there was four different pitchers contributing to the action and getting good strikeouts. Jake Fosgate started the game, and then Jacob Lycan came in, followed by Ben Coldiron, and then finishing with Nathan Bacow.
Ben Coldiron is actually rewarded the win just because of when he came into the game. But Jake Fosgate led the way with six strikeouts, and Ben Coldiron was right behind him with four strikeouts. And Nathan came in to finish it off with two, and Jacob had one.
Yeah.
So all around, pretty good pitching.
Yeah, it was.
Minus the whole eight runs. But pitching was not to its highest peak, but it wasn't definitely at its lowest. In the second game, Doan was on fire with their bats, racking up those 14 points. Bulldogs only recorded eight, and the pitching was not as good as the first.
No, it wasn't, but Trenton Wood still had a decent game. I mean, he had 11 strikeouts, but he also gave up seven runs.
Yeah.
He had good strikeouts.
He had some really good strikeouts. He allowed eight hits, seven runs, seven earned runs. Overall, wasn't his best performance giving up those seven runs, but 11 strikeouts, you can't really ask him to do anymore.
Then for the Mount Marty game, we kind of caught back into rhythm a little bit for our pitching game, at least. We had six strikeouts, but only three runs and seven hits. That was by Nick Little.
Yeah, and that really shows you how well the defense came into play to only allow three runs after getting seven hits. So the defense for the Bulldogs really came in and stepped up big time. On the offensive side, we had 11 total hits, and obviously those 10 runs, 10 RBIs, and we only had six strikeouts, so that's pretty good on that side. But everyone came into play for hitting-wise. It was a good team win after a loss to get really their momentum going. And in the second game, it kind of looked like Mount Marty said, all right, we had enough. We're going to make it an actual game here. And they came in big time, making it close and difficult for our Bulldogs.
Yeah, they made it tight with that when we won 10-9. A lot of Concordia Bulldogs pitched during this game. We had six total pitchers this game, so we just kept changing them in and out. I don't think really anybody caught a really great rhythm. Leading the way was Lucas Deem with five strikeouts, one run and three hits. He pitched for three innings. Other than that, there weren't too many strikeouts or like anything spectacular.
We had a total of 12 strikeouts. Mamardi only had a total of 10. So it's kind of a close game in the strikeout category. But looking at the score by innings chart, it was close from the beginning. 1-1 after the first inning, 2-2 after the second. Mount Marty took the lead 3-2 in the fourth. And then we racked up four runs in the sixth, but so did Mount Marty. A 6-7 lead after six innings for Mount Marty. We kind of went on a good run in the seventh and eighth. We scored one in the seventh to tie it and then got two more runs in the eighth to take the lead 9-7. And in a very close ninth inning, we extended our lead to 10 by getting one run. But then in the bottom of the ninth, Mount Marty almost came back. They had two runs and then we were able to hold them off for the last one to get the win.
Yeah, so a great team win there and able to hold everyone accountable and just together as a team, just to hold them off from getting that last run.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. They will face a four-game series against Briarcliff. The first two are doubleheaders. That'll be at Plum Creek Ballpark on April 10th. First game is at 1 p.m. Second game is shortly after at 4 p.m. Then the very next day on April 11th, they will play another doubleheader against Briarcliff with the first game at 1 p.m., second game at 4 p.m. All four games are at Plum Creek Park, so please go show your support for our Bulldogs. Moving on to the women's side of baseball, which is softball, we have a three-game losing streak, which is very unfortunate. After that loss against Northwestern, the Bulldogs hosted Morningside College in a doubleheader on March 30th, and we lost both games. The first game was close. We lost 4-3. The second game was a total blowout, 14-1 mercy rule, end it in five innings game. That's embarrassing.
You know, that's tough. Now we're now on a losing streak of three, and for softball, you know, we haven't really seen this year yet. This is a little dip in the year. Hopefully they can get out of it, out of their rut, and get back going.
Yeah, hopefully. And with those three-game losing streak, that puts us at seventh in GPAC for softball. We were sitting up in the rankings before that, but three straight GPAC losses, not looking so good for us now.
Like you said, we were kind of up there a little bit, trying to sneak in there, but these two other losses, they didn't help matters at all. And, you know, it's going to be tough for them for the rest of the season. They got to pick themselves up and start winning.
They definitely do. And hopefully they can start that on April 7th when they face Doan in a doubleheader. That'll be at Crete, Nebraska. First game will be at 3 p.m. Second game will be at 5 p.m.
And then after that, on April 10th, just 3 days later, they will host Midland University for another doubleheader on April 10th. First game will be at 1 p.m. Second game will be at 3 p.m., and that's a home game.
So show up and support your Bulldogs as they compete in all the events that we've talked about, really, because you can go watch them online or watch them in person. So they're all on different days, so you can support our dogs. That's all we got for you today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you have any questions, comments, or just want to sit and chat with us, please email us at cunekubski@gmail.com. Again, that is cunekubski@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at cunekubski and Twitter
at Kubski.
And that's all the time we got for you today. See you next week.
Bye.
I was like, this is for me, I admit it. I said, this is for me, I admit. Had some brothers who smoking a date. I can't judge them, I know that I can't. Cause I look at my mama with hate. I made all my music for me and promoted it so I could blow one day. And God told me, throw it away. Like people was passing the J. Went to college, he changed my life.